The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Z Live, off the record with Chirago Lang, is brought to you in part by Royal Fidelity, Cable Bahamas, Burger King, Fidelity Bank, Royal Star Shorts, and Neptune Compostables. If you feel like you make it down the same road.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chirago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call at all during the course of the day on the show, please do so at any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316. 325-4316. Or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So, I expect to continue today to take up the PLP's economic plan, to have some additional discussions about that. And I have some added information for you, because if all goes well, we should actually be hearing from Mr. Michael Halkidis on the show on Thursday, I believe it is, to come and talk about this the plan that the Progressive Liberal Party has put forward. So we're looking forward to that, because clearly Mr. Halkidis, a former member of Parliament and Minister of State for Finance, I imagine has been involved with the development of this plan, and has the wherewithal, I'm sure, to provide us with some additional information and insights into the plan. So we'll see and hear from him hopefully on Thursday. And of course, listen, this is a political season. Whether there's an election in April or May or June or July or sometime next year, it is clear that we've entered the political season. And so the parties are not going to allow each other to say and do things without responses. So that's typical, that's expected. And in this case now, the Progressive Liberal Party, having made a promise about the cutting of VAT, has invoked a response from the Minister of State for Finance, Senator Kwesi Thompson, who regards the Progressive Liberal Party's promise to cut the VAT as irresponsible. And so they challenged that if, in fact, the Progressive Liberal Party cuts the VAT, that it stands to lose some $100 million in revenue as a consequence of that. Now, all things being equal, now when an economist, not me, but any economist says all things being equal, what they mean is, if I'm in an environment where the economy is growing X percent and employment is up X percent and all these other things are happening, and I change one thing, if I change that one thing and all other things remain the same, so that's what they mean when they say all things be equal. If everything else stays the same and I change this thing, and if this thing has a correlation with something else, then I can expect a certain result. Now, maybe that correlation, and by correlation, I mean that two things move in tandem. Either if you increase one, you decrease the other, or if you increase one, you increase the other, and that increase or decrease could be proportionate, meaning that if you increase it by 5%, you get a 5% increase or decrease. If you increase it by 10%, you get a 10% increase or decrease. Or it could be a disproportionate, meaning I could increase it by 5%, and while there might be an increase, the increase might only be by, say, 1%, 2%, versus the direct correlation where there is 5% increase to a 5% increase, 10% increase to a 10% increase. So I say that to say this. So the Minister of State says the government stands to lose about $100 million, about $100 million in revenue if the Progressive Liberal Party cuts the VAT to 10%. Now, if the circumstances in which the government raised, say, $500+ million in revenue from VAT prevails when the PLP, if it wins office, cuts VAT by 10%. If those circumstances prevail over the period of the year of that VAT cut, the exact same circumstance, it is fair to conclude you could lose as much as $100 million in revenue. That's a fact. No question. That's just pure math. If all those things hold though. Now, if the Progressive Liberal Party comes to office a year from now, is the situation that generated $500+ million in VAT revenue for the government over the course of a year likely to prevail then? It is hard to conceive how it will. Because right now, the government with a 12% VAT cannot generate the same level of VAT revenue it generated a year before when COVID-19 was not a part of our story. How long is this pandemic impact likely to be on our economy? Well, the IDB says, the IMF says, I say, at least until 2024 before we see pre-pandemic levels. If that then is true, an election has to be in 2022 at the outset, then it is not reasonable to believe that the circumstances, economic circumstances, will be equal over 2022, 2023 to the same thing that it was when the government was able to generate $500+ million in VAT revenue. So the loss in revenue will not likely be $100 million, probably not even close, from that VAT reduction. Now, that being said, the opposite is true also, that the Progressive Liberal Party's belief that that reduction will induce spending to expand economic growth is also suspect, given that the circumstances
that would generate that kind of growth will not be the same as we would likely have a year from now, where unemployment is likely to be much higher still than in pre-pandemic period, and where lots of caution and lots of counter economic activity will also be in vogue. And so do I agree that $100 million in revenue will be lost? I do not. I don't see it at all. On a straight up, if pre-pandemic circumstances prevail, yes, but likely to prevail in the period of the cut, if the PLP wins, no, I don't see that at all. And as to whether or not that would be irresponsible, I do not agree. I do not agree that it would be irresponsible at all. I really don't. I think it would be irresponsible without taking account of the totality of the government's fiscal situation, right? I think that would be irresponsible, because if you're going to lose that revenue and maintain the level of spending and all other things remain equal as we are now experiencing, then you are going to deteriorate further the economic situation, the fiscal situation. But there is a very real argument to be made that in this economic climate, giving that relief to the citizenry is a far better fiscal effort than preserving that margin of fiscal health for the government. You can make that argument given the circumstances we're in. In fact, isn't that the whole point of why the government has generated the levels of deficit spending that it has? Look at the deficit we spent. We've generated $1.3 billion. Why did you do that? Because you felt like the Bahamian public needed that support and relief. Well, you can give the relief on two ends, you know. You can give it by generating deficits, or you can give it by a direct subvention, a tax relief to the public, or you could give it by keeping the public tax and then returning some of the money to the public. At the end of the day, the same deficit creation and the same impact on the fiscal purse. It's only a question of which angle you come from, right? If you give tax relief, you're really foregoing money and keeping the money in the people's pocket. If you don't give the tax relief, but you give social relief, all you're doing is taking the tax money and then giving it back in social relief. At the end of the day, both, except you make adjustments to your loss in revenue, both results in widening deficits for the country. The only question is, which is likely to have a better, a more impactful consequence for the citizen? And I would dare say, and I believe most would say, that the citizen would prefer to keep its money in its pocket. They prefer to have their money rather than have to pay the money in taxes. So it's that's the way the chip would fall. So I think in part the Minister of State is right in that if you don't take account of all the circumstances of a tax cut, there could be some irresponsibility there. But in this circumstance, given where we are, I don't see it. I can't see that as being responsible given the level of subvention we are making to the country right now in deficit spending. Let me explain something to you all, please. I really need to explain this. The government's revenue has declined by hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds of millions of dollars. The government decided that it would not reduce its expenditure in proportion to the decline in its revenue. Meaning, the government decided, even though I'm not collecting as much money, I'm not going to cut salaries. I'm not going to fire employees. I'm not going to cut administrations. Now, they did send a circular out reducing expenditure, say, by 10%. But that 10% expenditure reduction was not equal to almost 40% reduction in revenue. So in net terms, the government was still out down 30 percentage points. So when the government decided not to do that, what the government really decided was to subvent the whole public service, subvent the whole society by not significantly reducing its expenditure. So in other words, the tax PLP proposes is a tax cut that would have just meant people not paying the taxes. But on the other side, the government has decided, I am going to deficit spend and borrow to support that deficit spend. And ultimately, you, the taxpayers, will have to pay that and fund that. So fund this support in these difficult times. As the old people say, it's kind of like six of one and half a dozen of the other. At the end of the day, it's all support. It's all relief. And we can argue whether it should or should not be done, but these are policy choices that ultimately each regime decides is one, needed and necessary for the people it serves, and two, may be in its political interest. All right. So I hope that was clear enough. If it wasn't, I'll happily take whatever questions you might have and clarify it some more if needs be. So we went through the document yesterday up to kickstarting kickstarting the economy. And we went as far as revolutionized education and training, which I agreed in many ways could represent some meaningful change or help for us. And then the Progressive Liberal Party had as an aim in its economic plan to create greater equity and opportunities for Bahamians in tourism. Now, here again, words matter. So let's say you wanted to measure progress the PLP would make by way of this particular objective. What would be the benchmark? Meaning, what would be the starting point for saying there is inequity and opportunities for Bahamians and tourism? What's the basis of that? What is that? Is that a matter of, well, no Bahamian owns a hotel as big as Atlantis? No Bahamian owns a hotel as big as Bahama? Let's take the hotels, right? Clearly, in terms of the ownership of mega hotels, foreigners are the dominant players in that regard. Okay, the dominant players. So that's the big hotels, though, okay? That's one part of the tourism pie, okay? What's the other part of the tourism pie dominated by the foreigners? The cruise ships. So what about, are we talking about Bahamians owning more cruise ships? Like they would own more mega hotels so that we can have more equity there? An opportunity? What do we mean that? Okay, once we finish with the hotels and the cruise ships, Let's look at the other parts of tourism. The restaurants, are they predominantly owned by Bahamians or foreigners? The taxis, tourism by Bahamians or foreigners? The travel tour companies by Bahamians or foreigners? The entertainment entities, Bahamians or foreigners? The straw markets, Bahamians or foreigners? Bay Street, Bahamians or foreigners? You could argue that one way or the other, boy. But John Bull and them, they Bahamians, right? So the question is, what's the benchmark? Where do you start and say, okay, I measured inequity and opportunities lacking for Bahamians and tourism here, so it's X percent. So now watch me as I do my work. You will see it change from X percent to X plus 1, X plus 2%. This is where we are challenged in holding to account. Many a times the parties that offer these promises, because really in many ways there are no benchmarks. No benchmarks at all. If you're going to create greater equity, it must mean that there is not less equity. And what is the measure of that equity? If you're going to create more opportunities, that must mean that there's less opportunities. What's the measure of those opportunities? That's a question I hope Mr. Halkidis will come and answer for us when he appears on the show. And what is going to be done to get this greater equity and opportunities for Bahamians in tourism? Says focus on increasing economic benefit through the tourism value chain, rather than relying on ever increasing visitor numbers. Okay, negotiate additional and stronger positions in the hotel and hospitality supply chains for Bahamian businesses to reduce industry reliance on imports, which leaks value out of the economy. Okay, I understand the concept there. Okay. So you'll focus on that. Okay. Focus on it, mind you. That's all. So you can't say the government, you wouldn't say the PLP has failed if it focuses on it and gets no results. It says it's going to focus on it. Right? That's the promise. Focus. Okay. The other is expand the role of Bahamas Invest to support supply of business to hotels and other significant tourist operations. Okay. Now, Bahamas Invest, I think, is a government entity. So you want to expand that role. Okay. That means what? You say to Bahamas Invest, listen, your role is expanded now so that you got to go support supplier businesses to hotels. So let's operationalize that. Maybe when Mr. Halkidis comes, he'll tell us. How do you operationalize that? Okay. What would be the measure of success in that area? Okay. The next one is reform subsidies to investors to level the playing field for Bahamians to compete and build wealth in tourism. Okay. Now, folks, let me give you an example of something. The implication here is that subsidies to investors, in quote, presumably foreign investors, are unequal to those of Bahamians. Okay. Now the Mr. Ingram was prime minister of the Bahamas and had a government. Mr. Christie was prime minister and had a government. So the PLP and the FNM were in office. Each of them were in office and had responsibility for all of the legislation that give concessions to the Industries Encouragement Act, the Industries Encouragement Act, the Hotel Encouragement Act. They do not speak to foreign investors. They speak to approved investors. So if you are a Bahamian who owns a hotel, you get under the Hotel Encouragement Act the exact same concessions as a foreigner would get owning a hotel, whether the hotel is big or the hotel. You get to bring in your supplies duty-free. You get exemptions on property taxes and so forth and so forth under the Hotels Encouragement Act. It doesn't matter. You don't get 10% of your foreign and 4% of your Bahamian. You get the exact same thing. Now, if these legislation that provide these concessions were inequitable, why did not Mr. Christie or Mr. Ingram change them from the time Sir Lyndon had them? Please. I am asking the Progressive Liberal Party, the Free National, speak to the Bahamian people with a level of awareness and understanding that can help us with you work through our issues. The fact of the matter is there is no inequity in the concession granting laws. Let me tell you where there is inequity and where neither Mr. Ingram or Mr. Christie or Dr. Minnis has been able to do a phenomenal job at it. The inequity is the way Bahamians who typically don't have big projects are treated when it comes to operationalizing their access to and participation in this economy. Meaning, in too many ways, the political directorates don't see them as significant, so they get treated like just another Joe Blow versus a Kirzner who comes in with a huge project. And the civil servants oftentimes don't treat them with the same degree of deference as are treated these big time heavy hitters. And with substantial means or with great political ties, you may get some more favorable treatment. But it's not in the laws, it's not in the concession granting. So reform the subsidies? What subsidies? The subsidies are by law. So you're gonna have to amend the law. You don't have to show me in the law where the law treats the Bahamian differently than the foreigner. Now, maybe some new law, I don't know, but you could help me find that. And then it says we're going to focus on stopover visitors and expand opportunities for them to spend more on products, services, and activities in the wider community. Didn't I just see something? Thing that says not to be so focused on, it says focus on increasing economic benefit through the tourism value chain rather than relying on ever-increasing visitor numbers. Focus on stopover visitors and expand opportunities for them to spend more on products, services, and activities in the wider community. That's a good thing to focus on. How it will be operationalized, that's a different story. But again, it's focusing on it. Now, how will you know that you achieve results? What's the benchmark? That you'll have to find out. And this one says, incentivize Bahamians to set up vacation rentals with portals like Airbnb and provide funding through the Small Business Development Center. Okay. Negotiate greater value for the cruise ship industry, including an environmental levy per passenger. Okay. Expand sports, medical, religious, and heritage tourism to grow Bahamian-owned business opportunities. Okay. This is the Progressive Liberal Party had that as a part of its mantra in the former administration when Mr. Winchcombe was Minister of Tourism. I heard him speak of these matters a great deal. And I would dare say in some areas, some progress was made, like sports. I believe some progress was made in religious tourism. Some groups did come. I can't fault that as an input. we would be able to measure these because you can't get the numbers on sports-related, medical-related, religious-related, and heritage tourism, I suppose. And then it says, mandate that the Ministry of Tourism's marketing efforts increasingly engage Bahamian talent and local businesses with a focus on promoting our vibrant Bahamian culture. Mr. Wilchcombe also had that as his mantra. As a matter of fact, when Mr. Wilchcombe was Minister of Tourism, if you went, I think that a substantial amount of promotional effort was taken out of the hands of foreigners and put into more Bahamian hands. So that's not new. So, but, you know, I at the end of the day, here's how I look at it. You need to promote your tourism. You need to have whoever could do it well. Do it best. If Bahamians could do it best, please, by all means, hallelujah, bless the Lord, give it to them. But if not, why would you spite your nose, cut off your nose to spite your face? So that's a judgment and an assessment that the Progressive Liberal Party will have to make. I have no doubt the Bahamians love to hear that. Engage Bahamian talent and local businesses. I have no doubt that that is something that Bahamian talent and local businesses would love to have happen. For me, beautiful. Do it if it with all to get you the expansion you require and need in a very difficult economy. All right? Okay, so when we come back, we're going to look at this issue of diversifying the economy and what the Progressive Liberal Party proposes in the way of diversifying the economy. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Tired of disposable plates that fall apart and leave the food in your lap? Neptune Compostables can solve your problem. Put your food in our heavy-duty clamshells.
At Neptune, we supply heavy-duty take-out plates, coffee cups, sauce cups, soup bowls, straws, and plastic-free takeout bags. We offer free delivery to offices, takeaways, restaurants, bars, and households.
And we ship to the family islands.
Order now via WhatsApp at 816-2442. That's 816-2442. Or shop online at NeptuneCompostables.com.
Neptune, where your sense makes sense.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to GuardianTalkRadio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Say aloha to something delicious from Burger King Nassau. Introducing the all-new Hawaiian Whopper and Hawaiian Crispy Chicken Sandwiches. Enjoy the classic flame-grilled Whopper or our crispy chicken breast topped with ham, pineapple smoke, and all the fixins. Grab it with both hands and savor the tropical flavor. Whether you choose chicken or flame-grilled beef, you're gonna love it. The Hawaiian Whopper and Hawaiian Chicken Sandwiches are all new and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Do you have paper investments like stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, but are unsure if you're reaching your highest earning potential? Get your investment portfolio assessed by an experienced RM investment specialist. You'll get expert investment guidance at absolutely no cost, even if you're not an RM client. Plus, find out how you can take advantage of some of the best performing mutual funds in the market. What are you waiting for? Claim your free confidential portfolio analysis today by emailing invest@rfmutual.com. RF. Money at work.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come together through the
back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If you want to give us a call on the show, they sent me a message, you know, so I'm trying to read the message the same time as I'm talking to you. Please forgive me. Okay. If you want to give us a call today on the show, we're looking at the Progressive Liberal Party's economic plan. This is that party that would, on most probabilities, be the alternative to the Free National Movement. So what they have to say, great deal. After all, if you're being and you're looking for toward the future, you're looking toward the future, hoping for better. Even if it's good today, you're hoping for better. And so whatever you are hoping for, that would be resident in the PLP, the FNM, or the DNA, or you know, some other strange combination of life that might arise. The numbers are 323-6232. Or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I want to remind you that you can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify, on YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9. Or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to www.guardiantalkradio.com and clicking the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you fresh news and smart talk anytime, anywhere, all day. There you have it. Anytime, anywhere. This text says, Mr. Lang, your rationale is correct on the matter of accessing greater equity in tourism. You can measure it by way of capital invested or total revenue or visitor count. The ownership pie of resort properties, New Providence, Grand Bahama, Family Island, cruise ships, and airline marinas, retail outlets, stores, restaurants, vacation rentals, Airbnbs, etc., car rentals. Once you have a number, then it can be segmented into Bahamian ownership. Sadly, you will find that the Bahamians have a very little stake in our tourism product. We will get even less by selling land, private islands to cruise lines. First of all, I think you're dead wrong. I think that you will find that the collective stake Bahamians have in the tourism sector is much bigger than you think. The problem we have is our eyes are very big. Yeah, let me tell you something. I live in the Bahamas. Y'all get mad at me if you want. I really, honestly, I wouldn't be too concerned about it right now. In this country, unless you flash and glitter, you are doing nothing. That's life in this country. You could run the most successful taxi franchise in the Bahamas. You can run the most successful busing franchise. You can run the most successful convenience store. You ain't worth squat. In the Bahamas. You know who's worth squat? You got to have a big, big structure called Atlantis. Big, big structure called Bahama. You got to have chains of stores called Super Value. Chains of stores called Solomon's. You got to be that kind of thing to be successful in the Bahamas. Things that we never even know. You could have all the flash and glitter in the world. Your profit margins, the money that actually goes to the owners, could be narrower than the money that goes to that little small mom and pop shop as a matter of percentage of their revenue. But our eyes are big, and that's why we don't count Majestic towards them as nothing. We don't count these brilliant taxi franchises and owners as anything. We don't count these restaurateurs as anything, because we don't count things that we patronize. We don't count them like that. You're only successful when you look like Atlantis and you look like Bahama, and it's an offense in this country that we think about life that way.
So you discount the straw vendor who owns her own enterprise, who owns her own business, who's put her children through university by doing that. You don't count them. They're nothing to you. Nothing. They're not successful business. It's silly and crazy and really, really sad. Sad. We've got Bahamian business people in this country that are success by any measure, but they don't have no big structure like Atlantis or Bahama, but y'all don't count them. You don't count them. You don't count them. So you start to think, because I can't see them, they don't have a stake in the country. They don't have as much ownership in tourism. Listen to me. The hotel sector makes up 7% of the gross domestic product of the country. 7%. Tourism directly accounts for 45%. That means that the balance of the 45% comes from other places. Where you think they're coming from? All these restaurants, all these taxi drivers, all of these entertainment things that people do, all of those are part of it. Just child, them people don't drive around in no Mercedes, Benz, and no Tesla, and no BMW and Rolls Royce, so they don't count. They don't count, and their skins are too brown. They're not peach. Like some of us think that's the only way to be successful in this world. You have to have peach skin, not brown skin. You all will notice I don't call people white no more, and I don't call people black no more, because I don't know no white nor black people. I see peach skin and I see brown skin. Some peach skin, brighter peach, some darker peach, some brown skin, the brighter brown, some darker brown. But when my children color in the coloring book, I never see them color no person white with white crayon. And I don't see them color no black person black with black crayon. They use peach and brown. And that's part of our challenge right there. So I'm sorry, my friend, my Texan. I can't agree with you. I really can't. The Bahamians have a much larger stake in the Bahamian. And all of us try tend to fall for this lie that has been told over and over and over again, because we love the flash and the glitter and not the substance of what is happening in this country. Anyways, another one of the aims of the Progressive Labour Party's economic plan is to diversify the economy. Now, when Mr. Halkidis comes, I would love him to help me understand the definition of diversification, what they mean by diversify, because then that would help me understand whether, in fact, this might get us there. So what's the first thing the PLP proposes on the path to diversification? They put natural resources and sovereign wealth. So under that, they say they will assess the value of natural resources. The PLP does assess the value of our natural resources. Does that diversify the economy? No, that gives you new information. Okay, so you don't get the diversification yet. They said it will review current concession regimes for projects, negotiate equity in projects that request lease of crown land and seabed. Does that diversify the economy, that you review current concessions for projects? Negotiate equity in projects that request lease. That doesn't, in my definition of diverse, meaning to make more, to increase differentiation of, I don't see it, but that's what it's under there. It says review and negotiate contracts for mining of natural resources. This is diversifying. Okay. It says encourage more university research in our natural resources, including undersea tests and evaluations. Will that diversify the economy? It says establish a sovereign wealth fund to receive royalties from our natural resources. Will that diversify the economy? It says encourage to develop industries and subsectors to that. To so that raw materials can be made into finished, will that diversify the economy? If it ends, it if it res, results in the development of value-added industries? Yes. But that's the last one. Almost everything else was about natural resources. Okay. Now, so that's just one section of it, mind you. So they have natural resources. Then they have under their open orange economy. And here the strategy is create a, this is the promise actually, because create a 52-week calendar, okay, of creative and cultural events with major world-class events every quarter for year-round opportunities. Listen to me. If the PLP can do this, that'd be great for the Bahamian economy. If they are, these events are successful, that'd be great for the Bahamian economy. So that's ambitious. Listen, I can't fault you for that. Great idea, great ambitious idea. Could you imagine the Bahamas with something going on every week in the orange economy? Man, that'd be a blast, all right? So that'd be wonderful. Market Bahamian culture as main tourism product with cultural ambassadors to promote the Bahamas around the world. Can't argue with that, child. Send them all over the world. Send them all over the world. Marketers. I would you with that. Says use Junkanoo culture to drive exports and music costumes and art. Can't argue with you with that, please. If you can get it done, listen to details. Operationalizing it, that's the issue. Provide educational and training resources in Bahamian creative industries. Okay. All right. Says relaunch Sports in Paradise to encourage major international sports federations and leagues to use the Bahamas as a base. Can't argue with you with that. If you're successful with that, it can have a major impact. Make sloop sailing in the national sport of the Bahamas and incorporate. I was the minister responsible for sports for 3 years. And every year this issue of making sloop sailing the national sport came up. Oh, what a nostalgic interest it is. And every year the same argument came up. Are y'all crazy? Okay, so sloop sailing is okay and wonderful as a regatta sentiment, right? But let's be real. The vast majority of the Bahamian population does not sloop sail. That is not the thing that they are most attracted to, nor is for that matter, which is what you call a sport now? My daddy used to play cricket, right? So people argue that we should have something more relatable to the population of the Bahamas. So I wish you all well with that. The Bahadab will relate to the orange economy unless you are trying to drive national regattas and international appeal. Okay. It says, in hands of agreements where applicable, ensure that the Bahamian creatives are given first opportunities for contracts and collaboration. See what I tell you about the list, right? When you go down the list very often, not always, but when you go down the list very often, you start stretching. Right? Listen to this now. In heads of agreement, where applicable? Well, what do you mean where applicable? Right? Well, I mean, I know you mean where applicable. Okay. Ensure that Bahamian creatives are given first opportunities. Okay. Mr. Bahamian, I'm going to give you the first opportunity to make an offer for me for this. All right. Thank you very much. That's not quite what I'm looking for. It's not very expensive. Done. You get your first opportunity, but that's the end of it. I don't have to give you the opportunity. I just can give you the first one. All right. And then the blue economy, right? Strengthen RBD's capacity and partner with the United States to prevent illegal poaching and piracy. Okay. Develop renewable energy industries in offshore wind and wave power. If that can happen, be wonderful. Now, mind you, this is about the next term now. Develop the renewable. It's the government saying, the PLP saying, as government, we will do this. Okay. Develop industries around marine biotechnology and aquaculture. Again, listen to me. I want to say this, and I want to say this respectfully. I've been in politics. I've been a part of writing manifestos. I've been a part of writing promises to voters. I know the temptation to, one, connect with voters in things that they might be interested in. And I know the temptation of having more rather than less items on a promise list. But here's what I also know from experience. We need, political parties need, to stop promising the world and stop making promises for which the government is not directly responsible for. Let me give you an example. Safely and sustainably develop can safely and sustainably develop any industry. A government can promote the development of an industry, encourage the development of an industry, support the development of an industry, but no government can develop that industry. Well, it can, but it is rarely the case that it works that way. And so what happens is the government, the party then puts itself on the hook for something that it promises that somebody can come back and say, what happened? And then all of a sudden we hear explanations about this, that, and the next thing. I just think words matter. In a plan, the researchers tell us that in plan evaluation, that the words in a plan matter, that it matters how you coin phrases. Oh, I'm sorry, we got to go to break, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we will continue our discussions. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Agolai.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.